After 10 minutes on the impediment chinks, they laid out cushions all over the floor and started practicing stunning again. Space was really too confined to allow them all to work this spell at once. Half the group observed the others for a while, then swapped over. Harry felt himself positively swelling with pride as he watched them all. True, Neville did stun Padma Patil rather than Dean, at whom he had been aiming, but it was a much closer miss than usual, and everybody else had made enormous progress. At the end of an hour, Harry called a halt. "You're getting really good," he said, beaming around at them. "When we get back from the holidays, we can start doing some of the big stuff, maybe even Patronuses." There was a murmur of excitement. The room began to clear in the usual twos and threes. Most people wished Harry a happy Christmas as they went. Feeling cheerful, he collected up the cushions with Ron and Hermione and stacked them neatly away. Ron and Hermione left before he did. He hung back a little because Cho was still there, and he was hoping to receive a Merry Christmas from her. "No, you go on," he heard her say to her friend Marietta, and his heart gave a jolt that seemed to take it into the region of his Adam's apple. He pretended to be straightening the cushioned pile. He was quite sure they were alone now, and waited for her to speak. Instead, he heard a hearty sniff. He turned and saw Cho standing in the middle of the room, tears pouring down her face. What? He didn't know what to do. She was simply standing there, crying silently. "What's up?" he said feebly. She shook her head and wiped her eyes on her sleeve. "I'm sorry," she said thickly. "I suppose it's just learning all this stuff. It just makes me wonder whether, if he'd known it all, he'd still be alive." Harry's heart sank right back past its usual spot and settled somewhere around his navel. He ought to have known. She wanted to talk about Cedric. "He did know this stuff," Harry said heavily. "He was really good at it, or he could never have got to the middle of that maze. But if Voldemort really wants to kill you, you don't stand a chance." She hiccuped at the sound of Voldemort's name, but stared at Harry without flinching. "You survived when you were just a baby," she said quietly. "Yeah, well," said Harry wearily, moving toward the door. "I don't know why, nor does anyone else, so it's nothing to be proud of."
"Oh, don't go," said Cho, sounding tearful again. "I'm really sorry to get all upset like this. I didn't mean to..."
She hiccuped again. She was very pretty, even when her eyes were red and puffy. Harry felt thoroughly miserable. He'd have been so pleased just with a Merry Christmas.
"I know it must be horrible for you," she said, mopping her eyes on her sleeve again. "Me mentioning Cedric when you saw him die. I suppose you just want to forget about it."
Harry did not say anything to this. It was quite true, but he felt heartless saying it.
"You're a really good teacher, you know," said Cho with a watery smile. "I've never been able to stun anything before."
"Thanks," said Harry awkwardly. They looked at each other for a long moment. Harry felt a burning desire to run from the room and, at the same time, a complete inability to move his feet.
"Mistletoe," said Cho quietly, pointing at the ceiling over his head.
"Yeah," said Harry. His mouth was very dry. "It's probably full of nargles, though."
"What are nargles?"
"No idea," said Harry. She had moved closer. His brain seemed to have been stupefied.
"You'd have to ask Looney. Luna, I mean."
Cho made a funny noise halfway between a sob and a laugh. She was even nearer him now. He could have counted the freckles on her nose.
"I really like you, Harry."
He could not think. A tingling sensation was spreading throughout him, paralyzing his arms, legs, and brain. She was much too close. He could see every tear clinging to her eyelashes.